So anyway, here we are talking about readings and all this good manner of stuff, and you're going to do my reading today.
Ooh.
And I'm going to do yours, and we have people calling in.
Hang on, let me get into the, I've got to get into the feel of it. We all have our own way of...
Yeah.
It should never be painful. So that's
green.
Yeah, that's probably not right. It should never be painful. You were telling me you just taught a class... A bunch of people, you taught them how to be mediums, right?
Well, I didn't teach them how to be mediums. I taught them how to utilize their ability so that they could bring through information from the deceased. They're already mediums.
Mm.
So, and vessels, I mean, we're all mediums.
Right, I understand.
Or channels and whatever you want to call.
So, but at the end of the class, which was how long?
It was a four-hour class, and go ahead. What was your question?
My question was, oh, great one, was that by the end of the class, most of these people could do that, right?
Well, they all did.
They all did. Every one of them.
They all did. Everybody had breakthroughs, which is really exciting.
Yeah, it is.
Because I have to tell you, a lot of times in a class, you'll get a majority that'll have breakthroughs, and then you'll have some that'll tap in a bit. In this class, they all did, which was great. And I'm telling you, I like when that happens, I am very excited, very excited. It's like you're sending baby mediums off into
baby
the-
mediums.
Here's a- they've just taken their steps. You know?
Here's your diaper. And your little blankie.
You know what that is, though? It's the thing that's exciting about that for me, I think part of the reason that it is so exciting, I know we all get those labels, teacher and all that, but I like to say I'm sharing information with them. And but I feel, too, part of what happens is I get the chance to nurture consciousness in people, which is exciting. It's very moving.
Nurture a consciousness. Explain that for those of us that don't quite maybe understand what that means.
Okay. Inside of all of us, we have, you know, a spirit or a light, and there are ways that we can expand that light. And when you go into a class or you're learning something new, what it does is it gives you the chance to receive the support or the nurturing from the teacher so that you can do that. And that, I think, is technically what I do, is support people to understand how to expand their own light, ways to access it, so that they can support other people to help them expand, which is really cool, you know?
Yeah, it is. It's you're empowering others. And to me, that's always the best thing you can do, right? Wouldn't it be tempting, you think, for some people that do this to almost get like a God complex? Some must fall into that trap. Not saying in the group you belong to, but I've seen it before.
Thank you.
But...
Oh, sure. But I feel, too, if part of your work is to be here and quote-unquote teach, if that's part of your work, you're going to do it with integrity, you know. For me, it's not so much the term teach as, I use the term sharing. I share information with people. And it's just exciting. It's very exciting.
And is it, again, my curiosity, oh, great one, is it...
What?
Are we seeing expanded consciousness because of the way things are changing? Are people picking it up easier than they maybe would have before?
Yeah, I think so. I think because there's an urgency for the planet to evolve. Even just look at our weather this year. Things are happening.
Yeah, Mama's going through some changes too. Maybe it's a midlife crisis for Mama Earth. Maybe that's what it is. No.
Well, one time when I was channeling her, she did say that every single coastline on the planet was going to alter, and that's what's happening. If you look all around the coastlines, things are happening. You know.
Don't want to be living near the coastline too much, probably.
Hmm? No, and I kind of. When I see people rebuild towns around the coastlines, I kind of want to say to them, don't do that. Move back.
you know what kind of, not that I'm not compassionate for these people.
No.
But they choose.
No, I know what you mean.
They choose to live there. And then when they get nailed by something, they're saying, the government needs to help us. We need help. And it's like, but you chose to put your house in a spot where you know there could be potential harm coming to it. And then, like you say, okay, you survived it. And now you want to come back and go there again. And I'm thinking, at what point do we say, well, you can't keep doing that? I guess you can always do it, but there may not be the assistance for you.
Well, I think that's part of what's happening. People, and I, too, I have compassion for anyone who's suffering through anything. Earth changes, and so does Gaia. Gaia does too. She's not trying to harm anyone. She's just trying to stay balanced. But I feel there's a learning here that people are actually really basically being hit over the head and being told that we need to honor nature. We need to honor Gaia. Our world hasn't considered that for a long time. So the lessons that people are learning, they're hard ones right now. But I feel it's important, no matter who's learning what lesson, that we retain the compassion. And the government is failing anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So the support isn't going to necessarily come from them. It's going to come from each other.
Well,
and people are going to learn, yeah, you step back when she's in motion and you honor the seasons and honor how you grow things. And, you know, you don't grow poison in the belly of Gaia.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
So return to really the way we used to live at one time, huh?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So it's really a quickening. And I feel whatever it is any of us can do, that's what it's really about. You find your peace, whatever brings you joy or gets you sparking, you know, and you bring that in, add it to the peace and of what we're here to live. And things evolve, and the light for the planet grows, and our children are safer. I look at some of the things, too, that the kids deal with, and they see so much. And right now, the calls we do for holding the kids in safety and well-being, I think it was last week I got this knowing to keep doing these calls twice a month until world peace exists. So that's what I'm doing. And after that came up, the last call we had was bigger than any other call we had. And it was amazing, the things that started coming out of it. I heard that one lady, after doing one call, is now every day getting up and sending bubbles of safety to every child on the planet every day. And there's another lady who called in who said that she spoke to the grandparents of the kids that were killed in Connecticut last year. And we were talking about the grandparents getting on our calls, and she's informing them. And there was another lady who came on that said she had information on how to deal with people who are violent. And so there's so much happening right now, and it's important that we're all stepping up in whatever way we can, really. So what do you have to say, Master?
Well said, oh great one. I can't disagree with any of that. That's all boom.
That's right, okay? There.
That's all boom.
Well, thank you. Thank you. And what would you like to add?
Well, I know it's just things that I've heard for so long, and you know that it's going on, and you know there's a change, and you know that, mm-hmm. you know, well, I've channeled Gaia. I believe I've done it with you and also with our friend Rosalind.
Yeah.
And Gaia's advice to me in one of those was that this doesn't have to be difficult. It's up to us. Mm-hmm. And she loves us dearly. Every time I've ever done it, it's great love. But
absolutely.
Also, it's like, because I would ask questions like I always do and say, well, is it going to be a bumpy ride? And she would say, well, it's up to you now, isn't it? And that mm-hmm. would mean to me our level of acceptance and willing to change and go through this transition and make it smoother and become better beings. You know, I think if we start loving each other more and become stewards of the planet, more thoughtful in that
absolutely.
Way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's interesting, too, because through this time, I have to smile when you said loving each other more. I feel that one of the things that's really up are different modalities on dealing with the heart, you know, like heart thread, things like that. And I feel that the deeper we go there, the easier it is to love everyone. And there are ways to tap in to loving people that are magical. They're not hard. The willingness to be open to it, though, to realize there is something beyond what you logically can explain, I think letting go of that is really important right now, too.
You know, it's amazing, too, the...
About a, huh?
I was going to say it's amazing that the effect you have on others when you start to accept them and mm-hmm. send love to them, you know, people maybe that you haven't always gotten along with for whatever reason, and you let go of that, and you just try to put a little love in your heart. I find it makes a huge difference.
Oh, but it does. Kindness. There were two things I was thinking of. I have a little girl that her mom comes to see me, and the little girl is 5, and she's going through a particularly difficult time right now, and she has a hard time sleeping, and it's interesting because I was telling her mom to talk to her about putting her in a safe bubble and all this kind of stuff, and the little girl is saying there is no safe bubble because she's really dealing, you know. And so because our kids are so conscious, too, sometimes you have to speak the magic to them from a practical place, like, you know, then I break it down. I say, well, talk to her about the light inside of her and how that light can really grow and it can help keep her safe and that kind of thing. And that's something inside of all of us. But that kindness piece, I think that that's so important in dealing with everyone, and particularly the kids right now. There's a sense of them needing to feel very strong, because right there is our future, seriously. We're bringing those messages in about what is needed here. And in order to do that, they have to be in a world that supports and nurtures them to do that. So I just, that feels really on the table right now.
And you know, it's hard to measure. I know what life things were like when I was a kid, and I grew up in a small community, and you grew up, where'd you grow up in? What area? All over?
Well, I landed in Philly and kept moving after I landed, so I moved a lot. I think I went to a different school every year.
But I find that attitudes have changed so much, especially in the last 15 years or so, and parents, a lot of parents just don't seem to care, maybe because of drugs and medications and all this other things, distractions, whatever. Too busy. Maybe they got too many things going on. And not only that, but it seems like kids with Facebook and all these other things, they're kind of bullies more than they ever used to be. You see a lot more of that going on, I think. Maybe that's just always been the way, but it seems like people are less respectful in some cases than they used to be. And then you find a great awakening where people are really good to each other. A lot of people are seeing that. So we're kind of like got a split. where I see that.
You know what this, yeah, this reminds me of something Flo, remember Flo was on your show.
Mm-hmm.
She channels too, and one time she, the nameless one said through her that it would be as if two worlds were coexisting simultaneously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I see that, and I feel that the world that exists for you is the one that you nurture. So if you are choosing to live in fear and reacting from violence with people, then you live in a violent world. If you choose love and you choose to express that and give it and receive it, you're living in a loving world. Now there's a lot of people who have come from a lot of trauma who struggle with getting there, but there are a lot of modalities that are available out there now that can help people get there quicker than ever before. And that's a big piece of what it takes to help people go to their heart, because we need to have magical things to help people get there quicker. 15 years in psychiatry doesn't cut it anymore.
No.
You know, it just doesn't do it. We don't have that kind of time. And there really is no time. People are needing to, they're wanting and their souls are desiring to shift much quicker now. When they're ready, they're ready.
Well, and I believe
there
also,
have it.
I believe,
huh?
Oh, well, the great one has spoken. Just teasing,
oh,
you now.
God.
Just giving you grief a little.
Do I get a crown?
The thing I was going to say is that not only, because I was kind of hinted around to this, not only are, like you said, things are, there's a quickening, but also I think it's more accessible than it ever used to be. And,
mm-hmm.
and you know, I have my own
yeah.
beliefs about these things, but I believe we've just come into a time of more light. And if we've come into a time of more light, hence less darkness, hence things are going to be easier to do and accomplish.
Yeah.
And so people, to me, should be able to tap into these abilities a lot easier. In the last, well, what did they say? The first harmonic convergence was in the 80s, right? And there was
yeah,
a great shift.
84, I'm pretty sure. 84 or 86.
I think it was 86.
I remember it well.
And then then there was another one like around 2001, wasn't there?
I believe it wasn't a harmonic convergence. It was in 1991, and that was the 11-11.
Okay.
And then in 94, 95, we had the end of the free will experiment, and which meant that, you know, the thing that was activated was the grand design. Everything was flowing toward that. And then we had disruptions from that. And then we had in 2011, we had 11-11-11.
What is that supposed to mean?
Well, you know, December 11th, 11-11-11 was considered, you know, a big hoo-ha. The year before the end of the Mayan calendar, there was a shifting consciousness that year. And then we had the 12-12-12. So what did you get in 2002? I want to know. What's that? What did I miss?
2001. I don't know. I remember reading about it, and maybe I'm wrong. It's been so long since you hear these things.
No, I don't think you're wrong. Was it that thing that they were talking about where all their computers would go down?
No, it was just a shift, like great, you know, great moments of like energy hitting the planet at certain different times were allowing us to receive in mass, in a bigger mass. And so there have been, I know a lot of people talk about this, a lot of psychics and mediums and whatever. Those two dates that I, you know, and I've also heard people talk about 11-11 and 12-12. But those were, there were two big ones that zapped the planet and brought all this light and changed things. And I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong on that one date. Maybe it was in the
90s. No, I don't think you are. I don't think you are. I'm just like, I have certain dates that have stood out very clear in my mind, you know, probably because I was doing stuff for them. Now, there are times where there's been shifts where I've been home meditating or that kind of thing. So it could very well have happened. I'm not saying it didn't. You know, after all, you are Master TJ.
Yeah.
Didn't you know?
Well, of course, we know that. Got my little name badge, Master TJ. Doesn't look that way upside down when I'm looking at it. Rasm Dreamy.
This way you always remember who you are.
Well,
right?
I'd say you walk into those master meetings and people want to know.
And where are those master meetings?
Well, they're few and far between. We get together once in a while.
Other dimensions?
Well, other dimensions. You know, it's all over. It's all over the place.
Speaking of master dimensions and that kind of thing, I'm kind of wondering, how are you doing with your classes or with your training that I've taken you through? Are you have you been picking up on information and everything?
A little bit. I try to focus on that a little bit every day, and a lot of times I focus when I'm going to bed, and then I'm laying there, and next thing I know, I pass out. I find it really helps me sleep really well. It's like I start thinking about it. Well, yeah, I think about it, and I think, okay, I'm going to ask a question. The guides, okay, I'm sorry. There's only light. I put that in my head. There's only light, and okay, guides, I got a question, and then boom, you know. Sometimes, you know, the funny thing is I'll be driving somewhere, like driving home or maybe when I'm in a relaxed state, you know, you're not thinking about things, and something will just pop right in my head, you know, boom. And it's like, wow, that's pretty cool. So I'm guessing that they're showing up and answering me, and it's not always, you know, finding the time to do these things. And we all have time, but some days are just really, really, really busy. Lately, I've just been on the go, go, go.
Yeah, that's why I try to give people exercises to do when they're sleeping, because I call that the greatest untapped resource time, you know, that we can go and get a lot of work done.
So you actually tell people to do a lot of that stuff when they're going to sleep?
Well, yeah, sometimes it's a shortcut. I do it myself a lot because, like you, I'm forever going. It's very interesting. I'm looking at the time, you know. But so is there something you'd like me to tune into for you?
Well, we were going to take some phone calls, but right now we don't have
them. Yeah, I'm wondering if there was an issue with people getting in. So I guess we'll find out.
Well, I don't have any problems.
In the meantime, would you like me to tune into you?
Tune into me. Tune into me. Yeah, why not? Go ahead. I'm always game.
All right. So can I say anything I get?
Go ahead. Let it fly.
And then you can read me.
Sure. I'll give it a shot.
Okay. All right. First, hold on. Okay. So the first thing that comes up is you are busy. You're very busy. Your energy, is going out in a lot of different places simultaneously all at once. And, and then I hear them saying that when you rest at night, reaffirm that you want to really rest deeply, like you said, that you're doing, and ask them to refuel you. Ask them to refuel you.
Okay. That's good.
They're showing me this image that there are some blocks, like etheric blocks, they're working on with you to remove things. And they're talking about the area where you live in the winter that people tend to stay stationary or cocoon. This is a good time for you to open to the visions of your heart and soul and to envision what you would like to bloom or grow in the spring. When you have time, I'm having this feeling on the weekends, for an hour quiet time to sit with a vision board and to draw and map out what visions of things you'd like to create and write it out. Okay. And as you do this and you start to discover that you've grounded your vision through writing and placed it in the Akashic Records, you'll see how things manifest and get very detailed, nurture what your vision is. And then as it grows and you start to experience that it happens, the exercises and things that you work with, when you document them, there are things that will go in a book if you are choosing to write that book, and it will help people understand how to use magic to create the world that they want. It's partly connected to the principles of The Secret, but it's more than that. It's about understanding the power of the written word and knowing that it actually is documented in the ethers when you do it. Now, there are things that have come up for you that have provided opportunities, so to speak, to assist you to open with creating what you want. So when disruption happens or things don't go the way that it looks like it is, you go with where the ease or grace is. Right.
Where the what
so
is?
What you do?
I'm sorry. What was that? What was that? You said go where the what?
Go where the ease and grace is.
Ease
when
and grace.
Things don't move one way,
okay.
Right?
All right.
Move another. Okay. So the trick is, let's say for example, you go home. You have not just you. Some guy down the street somewhere. He goes home from work. He has six bills. He picks up his mail. He looks at his mail, you know, six bills, da-da-da-da. He goes home, and the dog has thrown his food everywhere. So this man, what he's looking at are the issues, right? First thing that you do is you shift what you focus on. So he may, like for example, rather than just go in and pick everything up right away and open the mail, put the mail down, put the, you know, just walk around the stuff, go and get yourself your favorite drink, take a deep breath, reassess, okay? Ask yourself what you need to do, right? If looking at the floor, you want to clean it up, then you do. But the idea is you go in with a different energy, so you feel fueled. All right? You're shifting your focus. Once you shift your focus, it's like creating a door to deal with issues or problems that are in front of you, which make it easier to receive the grace that's available. You got that?
Yes, I think I do.
Good. Because that's part of what's on the table for you. The trick every day, remember, ask yourself, where's the grace point, okay? So when you're dealing with anything, if you're feeling frustrated, it's the grace point, all right? That's
mm-hmm.
what you're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always available, and you're somebody who makes it available to others. So it's only natural for you to receive that as well as give it, okay? You got that?
Repeat that once again. You said I'm somebody
that... You're someone who brings it to others, okay? And because you bring it to others, it's natural that it would be available to you.
Okay.
Okay?
Yep. Makes a lot of sense.
Sounds like we have somebody who called in.
Hello?
Did you hear
Yes.
Hi. Is this Deb?
Hi. Yes, it is.
How are you?
I'm good. How about yourself?
Pretty good. TJ's here, too.
How you doing, Deb?
Hi, TJ. How are you?
Really good, thank you.
Deb, did you have any problems getting through?
No, the time went by a lot faster than I thought, though.
It did? Really?
Yeah.
So you're in Texas, right?
Yes, ma'am.
And what's it doing in Texas?
It's cold. I think I brought the cold with me here.
Oh, my gosh. You just, TJ, Deb just moved out to Texas.
Where are you from, Deb?
Well, I'm originally from Ohio, but we're living in Conroe, Texas, and I believe we jinxed these guys here because we brought some cold weather with us.
Should have done a cleansing before you left, probably, you know. Cleanse the aura.
It's been crazy cold, icy, like we might as well be in Ohio.
Go ahead.
I want to tell you, Deb is a Reiki master.
Okay, great.
And She actually works with Reiki Energy. Deb, do you want to tell TJ a little about what you do?
Oh, I'm just, it's working with energy, people's energies. You can have blocks energetically also, and pretty much a Reiki master, what they do is you go in and you work with a person's individual energy, and you try to work on the energetic blocks that they have, which is kind of really unique. It's when I first started, I was working with a lot of distant healing, and I didn't realize how unique and cool it was to actually work with people's energy. And the first time that I actually, because when you're doing it distantly, you're just sending out energetically to other people. But when I actually started physically working with other people and their energy, it was like really the coolest thing I ever experienced.
So how long have you been doing that?
Well, for about, I've been working for about a year and a half. I've been working with people's energy. The majority of the time I've been working at distant, I've been doing distant healings. But I just, like in the last, I'd say, 4 to 6 months, I started working with people physically. It's a quite unique experience. I'm really enjoying it.
Is there, I mean, did you have a question for Joy today that you wanted to ask when you called in, or do you want to offer something?
You could do both.
I've always got questions, that's for sure. One of my questions, Joy, is I have a house full of indigo children.
Yes.
And they're all empathic. I know what I can do to control myself and try to help my empaths and, you know, grounding and all the different things, but what can I do to teach my children to help them? They don't always want to listen to moms.
I know. I know your kids, too, so, you know, I have a little advantage here. But I want to speak to the fact that they're indigos, and except for Damon, he's definitely a crystal child, okay? Mm-hmm. He has all the traits, and he's, I'd like to speak to the fact that you have indigo and crystal children in the same house, okay, which is common because indigo and crystal children, they show up together. They work together. And part of the indigo trait with crystal children is to keep them safe. And if you look at the dynamics between them, they have that very strongly where, you know, your indigo child feels like it's their mission to keep the crystal safe, and that's part of it, okay? I think it's important to understand that when that's happening, that's not something wrong. That's them doing part of their work here, okay? I think that would help you relax a little, too, if you remember that's going to happen just naturally. The other thing is with the indigos, they have a very strong will because they're systems busters, and they're here to wake humanity up and help humanity see in every single way what isn't working. And they will do it kindly, and they will do it with vim and vigor, and they will do whatever they have to do to get that message out there because that's what they're here to do. I've seen them do it calmly. The big thing is that they be heard, and that helps them ground. It helps them stay safe. And when they ground and they're able to stay safe, it's easier to stay in their center and not pick up everyone else's stuff, all right?
Okay.
There are some of the exercises, and if I can refer to something that I gave you that may help, is I would encourage them to use that tube of light to bring it down through the crown chakra into the body, push it down toward the feet, and push it out the bottoms of the feet into the earth, and ask Gaia to transmute it to light. Okay. I would give that to Liv, okay? And Damon, I feel it's okay. I mentioned their first names, I hope. Is that all right?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay, first name only. but with Damon, it feels important that he has a connection to his art, and live with her lyrics and writing.
Music.
Those things help them stay balanced and give them an outlet for their own feelings and their own issues. And in both cases, with Damon, it feels like the artistic piece feels very
right.
important. When they have that freedom of expression with these things, it helps to balance the male and female energy, which helps them stay present. And when people are very present, their tendency to pick up on everyone else's stuff is diminished, so you don't pick it up. I think it's a good idea, too, to keep lots of citrine around your house. Because the crystal citrine helps to transmute energies in your home that you want to. It'll absorb what people are giving
the negative
balancing. I just to help keep everything light. And I would give them both a piece of citrine to carry in their left pocket.
Okay. Yeah, because the thing is they go out into the world and they pick up on everybody else's juju heavy junk, and then they bring it home, and it's like to try to I don't even think they realize they do it, because I do it and I don't realize I do it sometimes.
After the fact. That's why citrine is probably, if you give everyone and this is good probably TJ for you and me, you know, to take a citrine
put it
in your left pocket.
Well, I don't even know what citrine is, to be honest with you.
It's a gold crystal. It's gold white crystal. It's beautiful. And what it does is it will take the energies in a room and it will just things that are out of balance. I give it to people with cancer and their pain leaves.
Hmm.
Okay? It's very powerful. But what it'll do is it'll transmute the energies in the room. And the other thing that it does, if you're an empath and you're taking on everyone else's stuff, it'll help alleviate that for you. The big thing is to put it in the left pocket, because that's the pocket you're receiving in. All right? You're receiving on the left. Yeah. Or not the left pocket, but on the left you're receiving.
Right, left side, right.
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay. And if you put it around your house. The other thing that you can do, too, since we're on a roll, I'm just getting to suggest this, too. I would get black tourmaline, which are these black crystals, and put them over top of your doorways, which help to repel fear and that kind of stuff. So just think of it like that somebody's leaving their stuff outside your door. And the other thing, there are other things you can do to cleanse your aura. Take sea salt baths or showers, but make sure you have moisturizing lotion somewhere, because that helps to cleanse the auric field. You could use rose spritz, like an aromatherapy. But I think one of the most powerful clearings that I personally ever experienced was that tube of light. When it came down my crown chakra, and it just pushed everyone else's stuff out.
Okay.
All right?
I'll work on that. I'll try to get them to work on that.
And as a healer, right, before you work on anyone or after, I would suggest you add that to your formula of clearing, before and after.
Yeah, I agree, because I have a tendency of picking up on other people's junk real easy.
Yeah, I know. It's called the cross of the healing person. Wow. So that was some good questions, though. And you're enjoying your indigo and crystal children, aren't you, tremendously?
Yes. Yes, I do. Yeah. I love
and aren't
them
they chained in the world?
Mm-hmm. Pardon?
And they're chained in the world.
Yes. Yes. They're practicing right now here at home.
Do you see yourself? I'm sorry.
I said they're just practicing here at home right now.
That's a good way to look at it. Sorry, TJ. Go ahead.
I was going
to
ask you, do you see yourself as being like an indigo in all them?
Yes, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
I know I am.
Okay.
Yeah.
Me and my brother both. And my children are all indigos. I've got kids in their 30s, and I've got teenagers, and I've got all kinds of kids and grandkids and family members, and we're all a bunch of indigo crystals. I'm not sure if I got any rainbows in there. I'm not sure how they determine whether you're an indigo or a crystal or a rainbow. How do you determine that? That's another question.
One thing, the rainbow kids, their auras are literally rainbow. When I look at a crystal child, it looks very, their aura looks gossamer almost. It's got this pinky gold kind of shape-shifting kind of energy. But the rainbow kids, their auras look and flow like a rainbow, their energy. It's very clear. And they tend to have the traits, a lot of the traits of crystals, but more so. It's more intense. I feel like you are, like if Liv or whenever Damon or Liv or any either of them have kids, they would be rainbow children.
I might have some grandbabies that are rainbows too, but I'm not quite sure. Because I know my Harley, she is really psychic, and I don't know if she's crystal or rainbow. But I know, I've known from the beginning that baby, since she was born, she's very empathic.
How old is she?
She turned 5 or 6 in December, December 18th. I think she just turned 6, if I'm not mistaken. I don't want to believe she's that old already. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Okay, so can I ask a few questions about her?
Sure.
All right. Does she look at things very magically? Does she talk about, like, unicorns or fairies or any of that?
She used to use her imagination a lot more, but now that she's getting a little bit older, she doesn't tend to so much.
Doesn't hold on to it as much. Okay. And her name's Harley?
Harley.
I'm going to tune into her. Okay. I'll just tune into her. All right.
My little redhead.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I asked, I said, are you there, Harley? And I heard, yes, I'm here.
Sweetie.
Sweet. I was going to say sweet. I asked her, I said, so do you believe in unicorns? And she said, I believe they're real, but I don't see them in this world. She says, this is what she said. She says, there has to be enough good juju gone out to the people to make them come back.
Interesting.
Yeah. Okay. I asked her if she's a rainbow, and she says yes. And I asked her if she, she shows me this image that there's something with her liking the sun and there's something with her dancing. I see her liking to be out in the sun and dancing. She likes that feeling.
Mm-hmm.
She says it lifts me up. Yeah, she's like, it lifts me up. And mm-hmm. she's aware of them, and she put her finger to her lips, and she said, but I don't tell. She says, this is what she said. She said, they would think I was crazy, but really, you know, it's their stuff. It's like she says, they don't see.
Well, that's interesting. At least she knows it, you know.
She says she holds it inside. She says there will be a time when she will come and be with her kind. But until then, she says she holds and she tries to transmute things. She's going through a difficult time in a house, huh?
Yeah.
A little bit, yeah. She says she's trying to balance it, so what I'm going to do is light some candles for her today and send the light to her. I asked her if there's anything she would like to say, and she said, thank you for checking in with me. She says she loves you, Deb. She loves you. And she wants to be together again. And she says, and this time, she says, you will see me shine brightly. She says that in her heart she knows who she is. She just needs to have a place to speak it from, or speak it to.
Oh, she's always shining brightly, whether she knows it or not. She's always...
She says, but they don't
even
see
when,
me. That's what she says.
What's that?
She says, but they don't see me. They don't see her. She.
Oh, I do. Tell her I do. I think she should know that.
Well, it's not that she doesn't know that you see her. She says those ones. I think she's referring to the people in the house. And she
well, yeah, they don't. They are so clueless. They really are, unfortunately. It's unfortunate because they really don't. And she keeps a lot alive because she's got a baby brother also.
Yeah.
That I don't know if he's Rainbow or Crystal. Is Connor. And
he's Rainbow. He's giggling.
He's Rainbow also. Okay.
Yeah. But she wants you to know, she wants to tell you this though. She says the next time you see her, she will be shining even brighter. And it feels like it's this connection with the baby. There's something here with the baby. This is one of her people. Yeah, she's been waiting for this baby to come. The baby can't talk to her verbally, but the presence of this baby is very important in her life.
Baby.
The baby. You said there was a baby.
Her baby brother.
Yeah.
She's got a baby brother, but he's like four.
Yeah, but the baby. There's something with that connection with them that they're together.
Oh, they're real, real tight. She always
yeah.
protects them. She always
yeah.
protects them.
Yeah, there's so that is there.
That's what's so funny because you have, you know, it's funny because we've got Harley, Connor, Livy, and Damon. And that's their main goal in life is to protect one another. You know, they're always looking out for one. It drives Damon and Livia crazy that they can't be closer, you know. And it's almost, I mean, it's special, but it's almost, I almost feel bad for them that they can't be, you know what I mean, closer because it's just amazing to watch them when they're together. They're lights. They do shine bright when they're together, you know.
Well, they do, and the thing is, too, they're soul family. They're not just biological family. They're soul family. So
right.
My feeling is whenever it could be for these four to get together, they'll really help each other with a lot of things in the future. In the future is what
right.
I think.
Right.
You know,
yeah, that's really special. I mean, it excites me for them even.
So
you know, it's going to be amazing to watch them and see what they how they end up helping humanity, not just themselves. You know what
well,
I mean?
That's part of what it is. They're on this team. And they're actually, I see this image of them pinpointing and showing the way, but they each do it in different ways. One is very
they all have their special gifts to use.
Yeah, so I would be aware when you see this little one in the future, talk to her about her light. And I would do this funny thing with her. I would say to her, "Oh my word, you shine so bright! I need my sunglasses. Put your sunglasses on, okay?"
And yeah, that's interesting. That's cute. Yeah.
Play it with her because it'll help her recognize the magnitude of who she is. You know.
Right.
The kids are little, I would find a fun way to validate that for them. Because you're the one that will do that for them. No one else will.
Okay. I realize that. Matter of fact, I think at your house, I think when Livia, we were at one of your, something that you had, and they talked about how the kids were brought with me because I would help to keep their light shining. Mm. And that I took as a very high compliment.
Yeah.
Because it takes a lot, I think, to keep to keep your own light shining, much less be responsible to help keep others' people's light shining, you know. Mm. That was a high I took that as a very high compliment.
Well, it is. Because you're being trusted with the spirit in these children. You know, and that's what I was talking to TJ about earlier, whether it's children or adults, nurturing or supporting people with their light, you're nurturing consciousness. Where's TJ? Are you here?
No, he left his body, and now he's down in
quiet.
Texas. He left his body, and he went to Texas, and it's cold there, so now he's going back to Michigan.
Come back in.
There you go. I think it's so important for all of us to help one to keep each other's light lit. You know what I mean? Not just family, but
everybody.
I mean, there's everybody that knows and believes. You know, I think that's really an important aspect.
You know, Deb, you had asked earlier about the difference between the crystals and the rainbows and the indigos, and you and I have talked about this before, Joy. The indigos were the first ones that came, right?
Mm-hmm.
And some of them came
Actually, the first ones that came were the light workers, the adult light workers,
okay.
And then the indigo.
Then the indigos, and a lot of those came in the 80s, right? A lot of the indigos came in the 80s.
That time 1984, after that.
And then the crystal came along in what time period? When did they start coming in?
2000.
And then, so we've had the rainbows, what, the last few years or last 6 years? When did they start?
My feeling is that they started coming in shortly after the crystal.
Okay.
Now, there are always some that come earlier with each ray.
Right.
And the reason for that is because they're greeters for the others. So there has to be some here already. That's why there's adult indigos here, too, so they can recognize each other.
And the indigos are going to be the ones, like you say, that are going to be not afraid to speak up and stand up for what they think is wrong and feel the need. Or feel the need to set injustices straight.
Oh, yeah. And part of their work is to remind humanity of equality. So an indigo child is the child that will fight with authority figures who try to put them in their place, because intuitively these beings, these spirits that are indigo, they understand that they're equal to all. And if something is out of union, they feel it. They feel it. And if they're not heard one way, they'll act out another. And the truth of the matter is that, you know, there are some that approach it with the humanitarian way, too. They'll go and try to help humanity. They'll become healers or whatever. But they're driven to make sure the system is shifting. And if something isn't working, they'll let people know. But that isn't the only thing they do. They're amazing, amazingly gifted.
Would you classify yourself as one of those?
Who?
You. Would you class? No?
I don't. I know who I am, but I don't publicize it. What for? I'm busy. I got to work.
I'm just saying. Because I feel like I'm an early indigo that came here or something, because I've always felt that way a good part of my life, to stand up for others, to bring the truth out. And you told me before, and others have told me, that some of these indigos came early. Right?
Absolutely. And I can see that in both of you. You know, I just say, you know, I'm late, or I was told I came in awake, and because, you know, I was talking to dead people early on, and I would go and fight for people, and obviously I have some of that in me. I do advocate for children and peace. So I think there's a ray of indigo in me. I think that that's there. But I feel like once you hit or connect into that place of oneness, you can carry traits of all the rays because we're all interconnected. So it's kind of important to recognize that you may have different streams
don't
coming
limit
through
yourself
at different times.
Right.
The more you expand. And the idea is to expand without empathing to the point where you're taking on the stuff. You just want to take on and expand with the light, okay?
That sounds like that's aimed at you, Deb.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, true.
How about you? I'm going to quiz you guys on this later. Get your test papers ready.
Uh-oh, we're in trouble.
But you know how hard I am at all this, Deb. Deb came to me. I did. You did, didn't you?
Yeah. What's that?
You came to a class I taught.
Yes. Yes, I did.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, it was a mediumship class. I was telling TJ I just did another one Sunday, and everybody left doing readings. It was really cool.
Cool. Yeah, I remember I only got a chance to come to one before we moved. So I actually have been looking for a place to try to connect with people here so I can make some friends here, too.
Cool.
That does the same kind of stuff to kind of start meeting people with, like, you know, that are like-minded and make new friends, too.
We need to, yes. We miss you, though.
Yeah. I miss you guys terribly also. I just wished I could have met you 2-3 years ago when I was feeling sorry for myself and not knowing anybody. Well, it all happens in divine right order. I realize that now. And apparently, I've made good friends, and I know that you guys are always going to be there, and you know where I am, and I know where you guys are, and the distance doesn't make a difference.
No, we will be visiting. Yes.
I know.
I have my room ready for me.
Yes, you do. Actually, you do. I got to get a bed in there for you, though. It's
all right.
poor things empty.
Well,
I've been trying to just get through the basics right now and make sure that I get into somewhat of a routine and trying to. You know, it's funny because I think if we were closer, I'd probably have more luck with that. My kids liked coming to your house and doing things with you. I try to talk to them about those things now, and they just look at me and roll their eyes. So, but I'm just mom, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's it. That's it. You know, and that's for you to tell me that, I really feel honored, because that tells me I'm doing my job right. You know, so you're doing yours right. You take the flack. I'll do my part. Everything will be fine. But if you notice, though, too, when I talk to them, I actually say to them, oh, your mom will say this or that. And yeah, it's really accurate. So I can finagle that in there occasionally, okay?
Oh, that's good. That's nice. That's funny.
Well, listen, we're just about out of time. So I want to check in and see if either of you have anything you'd like to add.
Go ahead, Deb, if there's something else you want to add.
Well, it was just it was nice connecting today and having you verify the some of the information that I was questioning and to now know the differences of the indigos and the rainbows and the crystals. That's a unique thing to know. And I always look forward to more information. Knowledge is power. Knowledge is power. So I thank you for your time.
Thank you.
And you have a wonderful day.
Thank you.
Thank you. You too, Deb. And thank you.
And it was nice meeting you, TJ.
Nice meeting you, Deb.
Getting with you also.
Nice talking to you.
Okay. Take care, Deb.
Take care.
So, TJ?
Yes, ma'am.
Do you have anything you want to add?
Well, I got a few numbers I want to add.
Okay.
6, 9, 12, 14. No, that was really good. That was really cool. And you've known Deb for how long? Just a short time?
I met her, I think it was last year sometime. I forget where it was.
Okay. And those ones she spoke of were children or grandchildren?
They're grandchildren she adopted.
Oh, okay. I see.
So they're her kids.
Okay, I see.
You know? Yeah. And that's why it seemed a little confusing, but, you know, they're great. They're great. I love the kids, you know, obviously. I love them, too.
You love all kids, don't you?
Huh?
You love all kids, don't you?
I do. I love all adults, too. Some are easier to like than others.
Yeah, I guess so. Some of them are annoying. Some of your like annoying brothers or something like that, I suppose.
You're really cool. We love you.
T-shirts for peace. What can we do with that? How can we talk about that before we leave? T-shirts for peace.
Interesting. It seems to be the theme today, doesn't it? We have our biweekly calls. We have things becoming much more consistent with those calls. And we have some expansions coming in. I actually have a young indigo, a teenager, who comes over and helps me with secretarial work now, which I'm loving, because ultimately the vision for T-shirts for Peace, once it's up and fully running and is, like, huge, it's going to be handed over to the kids. So it's not mine. I'm just, you know, directing and doing all that stuff you do, and then it will be there. So every time a child steps forward and adds something to it, it's very exciting, because it just increases the expansion of the vision. So that's happening a lot, you know. And we have some new products and services, and the website we're updating now is t-shirtsforpeace.org, and it's TEESHIRTSFORPEACE.org. It's listed on the website here. You can get on there and see the new stuff we have. We have world peace puzzles and hand-knitted baby blankets. And we're starting to do this year's fairy godmother circles in the spring. And it looks like we're organizing a fundraising event sometime this summer that'll be like a festival. So I'm pretty excited about that. People are just coming in. So there you have it.
So if you people want to help, if they want to donate, they can find out. We'll have the info right on, you know, the podcast site here. You can hear the podcast, joyofunion.podbean.com or outthere.podbean.com. We pretty much simulcast the two shows. So you'll be able to
do
side by side.
And the other thing is, too, I do want to mention that we have started to receive donations towards safe houses for children. So if you want to send a donation and you have a specific thing you want to donate to, like some people have specified that this money is to go for this or that, you just let me know and we'll make sure it gets there. Okay?
It started, we started talking about this how long ago in our podcast, and I just see that it's growing and growing, and you know, you've had this vision, so it's just a matter of time before we start seeing even more amazing results. Thanks to everybody who's been helping out. Thank you very much, Joy.
Thank you. Thank you, TJ.
You're welcome.
Have a lovely day.
You too.
And we'll all get together and have another show soon. All righty? Thank you.